Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is the penis-snatching geisha, murderess Sade Ebi. And this is about a Japanese woman, so I'm sure we're going to screw up some pronunciations because I'm not fluent.
I won't. I'm very fluent in,
Japanese.
In the language of the Orient, Timmy.
You know, there's more than one language in the Orient, right?
I'm fluent in all of them, Timmy.
I see. Well, then you should do pretty well in this, but Brandy and I might struggle. I'm happy today to...
The devil gonna struggle with anything more than two syllables, Timmy.
Let me introduce our panel. Before I do, let me remind everyone, we are a true crime podcast, and we do use adult language. So if adult language offends you, then
you,
please...
If adult language offends you, grow the fuck up.
Or
you can... Turn off the dial right now. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. That's all we got to say about you Puritan people. Bunch of goddamn pilgrims just hit the road.
We would welcome you to check out some of the other fine independently produced podcasts out there who are able to get through a podcast without using adult language. What do you think about that, Brandy?
I'm all in.
Let me introduce...
Are you going to tell him about the goddamn podcast, or are you just going to leave him hanging there?
Oh, yes. It's the Penis Snatching Geisha.
The other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Our friends from They Walk Among Us.
Yes, Ben and Rosanna from They Walk Among Us. Our friends at Insight. Our friends at Death's Door. Brandy, you were down there at CrimeCon this week. We're going to talk about that. Any shout-outs you would like to give?
I want to give a shout-out to Walt Turner.
Okay.
Who has been very active on our page, very supportive of other people on our page, just a really, really cool guy, and I want to say hi to Walt.
Okay, I wasn't going for that. I was going for the other podcast that you wanted to
mention. Okay, thank you for the Brandy time.
I haven't given her a proper introduction, and this is a very special day.
Today is a special day. It's been a special week. Yesterday, Timmy, was your birthday?
It was.
Today is the day that the devil spawned this one over here.
It is Brandy's birthday.
Some 48 years
Make sure,
ago.
48?
I don't know.
Make sure you tell my mother that when you see her this weekend that, you know, she's the devil.
Let me introduce a lady who needs no introduction. A lady who is considered, been called Brandy the Benevolent, Colonel.
Yeah, that's what she's been called that. You know,
she's also been called Brandy the Beloved.
I believe we've been, we sent her to Nashville, and I believe we've been blackballed from all the other
other podcasts.
Did you ever get your shirt and bra back?
No, I don't know.
That you tossed off the balcony?
They're somewhere in a tree.
She thought it was Mardi Gras.
Did you get any beads while you were there?
Other podcasters down there, she's
no
like,
beads.
Throw me beads.
There were no beads. It was a little disappointing.
I'm sorry.
Although it was hot, so I was okay.
Brandy, Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
Did you show your boobs for some Skittles down there, girl?
For Skittles? No. Peanut M&Ms. Don't be stupid. Skittles.
Did you have a good time at CrimeCon?
Dude, I had a great time. I had a great time.
You saw a lot of our friends down there, I understand.
I did. I saw a lot of podcasters, a lot of really, really great people. So
listeners.
Saw some listeners. Saw Jessica Ann, who is lovely. Met Christy Lee with Canadian True Crime.
Oh, Christy's a lovely woman.
Did you meet up with Jen?
Met up with Jen Wicks. Yes, we did. Absolutely.
Okay. And so, Nina was down there.
Yes, she was. Nina was down there. Ladies from Southern Fried True Crime were down there.
It was a spank fest down there, Colonel.
Oh, it was. Did you shame us, Devil? How much did you shame us?
I didn't shame.
I keep waiting for the pictures to show up
on the
internet.
I did not really shame you.
I keep waiting for TMZ.
I had my picture taken with the guy from Dateline. We saw the guys from Dateline, so that was really
cool. Yeah, I had my picture taken with the guy from Dateline, but I don't like to talk about it.
Well, yeah, that's different. Not the subject. These weren't the subjects.
No, really,
of Dateline.
I was just here to tell her how dangerous it is to talk to 48-year-old men on the internet. That's all I was doing here.
I mean, and
what,
it was.
What we really want to know is who asked about the Colonel and I.
Oh, no one. It was amazing.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It was amazing.
That's a nice folly.
Or maybe I was just drunk and walked away. I don't know, but nobody asked.
Sure, people asked about us.
Well, this morning when I talked to you, you was drunk and walked away, so...
Hey, you know what?
How are you celebrating?
It's my goddamn birthday.
How are you celebrating your birthday, by the way, Brandon?
Well...
Human sacrifice.
Maybe some of that, but mostly... you know, Noah's birthday is coming up as well as Jake's, and, you know, Noah's going to be seven, so I will be preparing for his birthday celebration this weekend.
His soiree,
of which both of you were personally invited. You, of course, are not going to come.
No, I can't.
But Chuck and his lovely bride will be there.
Oh, and Mrs. Colonel, some class to the event.
It will be great. So for my birthday, I will be headed home to prepare to receive company.
But are you doing anything to celebrate your birthday?
I don't think so. Probably not.
It's are you drinking?
Pretty low
anything?
Key. Might drink a little bit.
All right.
But do a little this, do a little that. Dave's working, so we're not really going to go out or do anything. So
do a little dance, make a little love, and get down tonight.
Probably not. Probably not most of that. I might do a little dance, though.
Okay. Let me introduce really the man who's a star of this podcast.
He's not.
He's been called the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
By no one.
A man who is considered a moral compass of podcasting. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair. The honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What's
one
girl?
Day, can't he just say I'm fine?
Well, we haven't podcasted this like 2 weeks, so he's had some build-up. You know, he's stressed. He needs to get out.
Chuck and I are actually pretty excited. You're going to be out of town. We've got our own thing planned, so we're pumped about that.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if it happens.
It's happening.
If it doesn't happen. All right.
Oh, it's happening.
I'm just not good. And you know what? I really don't even want, but I will tell you this. To me, I've been traveling so much, I feel like goddamn Aerosmith.
Where have you been?
I've been to Indianapolis. I've been to Chicago.
This has been over the span of a year.
Okay. You went to Toronto like last August.
I've just been all over.
Oh, yeah, you're a world traveler.
Burning the candles at both ends.
I know.
I am, yeah.
Well, you're at an age now where it takes you that long to recover from the trip.
I had up in Chicago, I had my Fitbit on. There was one day I had 11 miles on my Fitbit.
Yeah, you're not a young man anymore. I'm just saying.
Excuse me, you had a birthday. You just hit 52, so why don't you?
Nope, 52. You
not even
four years.
Yeah, right.
So Colonel, you have you. I understand you had a Fitbit challenge.
I do have a Fitbit challenge with Kimberly Smith and a group of I don't know who. What kind of insane people these are? I do pretty good on my Fitbit, Timmy.
How many steps do you get a day?
I average about 14,000 or something.
That's good.
No, these insane bastards are going like 25, 30, 40,000 a day.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I think they're professional runners is what they
You know what? They may put it on their dog or their kid or whatever and let them say, look what I did.
A rabbit. Yeah, but, hamster.
Sure, hamster.
The bet was if I got beat, I had to give Kimberly Smith a shout out. So there's Kimberly Smith.
Well, you
from
didn't
the
really,
west side of Cincinnati.
You didn't do it with a lot of enthusiasm.
She beat me and five other people. And
how many people in this
I'll tell
group?
You who else is insane, Timmy.
Who?
I don't know what the man does is Anon.
Yeah, he walks a lot.
The dude will put in like 100,000 steps a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
You know why? Because
you need to be going up. You need a group in like a nursing home.
Right. I need those old people.
No, Anon's walking around pondering the question. Pondering life,
yeah.
And then that's how he comes back with all of his sage wisdom.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
takes these long walks.
I'm throwing this goddamn Fitbit on the street. I'm tired of it.
Well, so will you accept challenges from folks who are...
I will accept a challenge from anybody, anytime, anywhere.
I challenge you to fight a bear.
I fought a bear before.
Of course you did.
I fought a bear before.
Did you win?
No.
The trick is...
Look at his face. Clearly not.
I learned this from an old Indian, Timmy.
Okay.
Okay? You don't try to box the bear or get around the bear. What you do is run right into the bear, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wraps his little arms around because they got short arms, you know. But they can't really tear you
up.
They
work on the body.
If you're right into their chest.
Good for the kidney.
You can't. They can't do anything to you. You just run right into them because they get up on the hind legs and get right into their chest.
What if they fall on you?
Huh?
Yeah, they're like 1,000 pounds.
What if they fall on you?
Well, then you just crawl.
I'm sorry, do what?
I didn't say it's a perfect plan, all right? But I'm just saying in the past what I have done
it's
is
a plan. It's a plan.
I sharpen
up. You know what else is a plan? Don't go in the woods.
I sharpen up my spork that I get from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Your spork?
Yeah.
The spork is a useful tool.
And then I run.
You can eat a coleslaw and mashed potatoes with that.
Yes, you can.
Oh, for fuck yeah, you can.
And you run straight into
steak
the bear.
And mashed potatoes.
This is important. The listeners might. Now, Clark Trowbridge already knows this, but all the listeners need to know.
Clark's bigger than most bears, though.
Well, that's true. You run right into his chest. That way his little arms can't get. They're like T-Rexes.
He's not a T-Rex. No, he's not a T-Rex.
So you're trying to get the advantage of the reach, is what you're saying.
You take it away by getting into his chest, and then you take that spork and you just drive it into it until you find that little bear heart. Then you poke it and poke it and poke it and poke it. And then the bear falls over and you win. And then you skin the bear.
Right now.
And then sometimes I make bear jerky out of the meat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could get bear jerky, Brandy.
Oh, bear jerky is a little tough, but it's tasty enough.
Nobody follow this advice ever. Ever.
It's how the Shawnee Indians made you become a man.
It's not.
And when I was staying with a group of Shawnees.
You were not.
That was your rite of passage.
In my youth, that was my rite of passage. I had to go out and kill a bear.
All right. Well, yeah. Colonel, but you never did tell us why you were upset.
Did you go on a vision quest while you were there?
Did you stay out in the desert like Billy Jack?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I stayed in a hotel in the desert. Oh. Yeah.
Called the Jack.
Just almost the same.
And I went and got one of those. It was a tranquilized bear.
It was one of those stuffed bears that they have? Yeah. All right. Good.
Well, how do you think it got stuffed?
Yeah, exactly. Those bears you see in
Wait a minute. You know how I think it got stuffed? Chuck Norris killed it.
No, you know what?
Yes, he did.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Nope.
I'm going to tell you what happened one time.
I can't.
One time.
It's my birthday.
Like
can
2
we
o'clock
not?
In the morning.
It's
all right?
Your birthday. It's your birthday.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
So can we not? With
this happened to me one time.
Today.
I know it's going to sound unbelievable. Okay. But one night I'm sleeping, my phone rings, all right? And it's
a bear?
I answer the phone.
Was it a bear?
No, it was Chuck Norris.
It was Chuck Norris?
It was
he
Chuck
had your
Norris.
Phone number?
Me and Chuck talk all the time. And he's like, hey, Chuck, hey, Colonel.
That's why he's got the beard now.
Look here, Colonel. I'm in a bar. There's about 8 guys. I think I'm going to have a little bit of trouble with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can you come help me out?
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the bar and helped Chuck clean it out.
So when he needs backup, he calls you?
Yes.
I see. What do you think about that, Brandy?
I smell bullshit.
Well, Colonel, let's talk about the penis-snatching geisha. Of course, geishas have a long history of providing services to men in Japan, Brandy.
Such as penis snatching.
No, that's usually not in the
this is not,
menu
again,
of services.
This is not to be confused with the great penis panic of 1952 or
right,
whatever it was.
67. But
whatever.
Yeah, this is a separate incident.
Okay.
But never, nonetheless terrifying.
Nonetheless.
Well, yeah, goddamn right. It's terrifying. Somebody walking around, one minute they got a penis, one minute they don't.
Well, this woman actually cut off a man's penis.
That's what I mean. And you know what's
more... And you know women giggle about that.
Did she... Well...
They do.
Did she just cut off the penis or did she
squirt
cut off
too.
All the accoutrement?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. That means junk. Chuck.
Sade Ebi is her name. She was a Japanese woman who is best known for... erotically asphyxiating her lover.
Nice.
Kurisuke Ishida was his name.
So you can do that for a living?
No, I don't think it. I mean, according to her, he wanted it. But
did you see the balloon fetish thing where the women sit in lingerie and blow up balloons and they pop and that's a thing?
I don't get that. That don't do a whole lot.
I don't have to get it. That's what am I doing here? I can blow up balloons. You want to see a fat chick blow up some balloons? I can do that shit.
There's money in those balloons.
I'm going to tell you why this story disturbs me.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
The balloon or the penis snatching story?
The penis snatching.
Okay.
Is because I just read an article where they did a full penis and scrotum transplant to me. Mm-hmm. Full penis. Now, think about that. Now, you know how I used to hear the stories about people waking up in a bathtub full of ice and their kidney being gone.
Right.
Well, I don't want to be that guy who wakes up in a bathroom full of ice and my penis and scrotum are gone.
Well, I don't blame you.
I don't think anybody wants to be that guy.
No, but
start living a better life.
Some of us have more to lose than others.
Right? That's my point. That's my point. I'm walking around with a bullseye on my back.
Are you thinking we got that brandy?
I would rather not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just... I'm a target.
Makes Sada, me throw up in my mouth.
Sada Ebi was a Japanese
Sada
woman
Noonspa.
Who was best known for erotically asphyxiating her lover, Kizuku Ishida, on May 18th, Brandy, 1936.
So she was just choking the one guy?
No, she was choking him, and after she choked him and killed him, she then cut off his...
No, I don't want to get into the story. I'm just saying, so it was just the one guy she was choking?
Yes.
Or was she a professional choker?
No. Just this guy.
Oh,
Dottie
going to be mad. Only one person died.
Well, she was pretty gruesome. She strangled him and then cut off his penis and testicles and then carried him around in her handbag.
Well, where else would you carry him?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
The story was a national sensation in Japan, Brandy.
I bet.
And has since became interpreted by artists, philosophers, novelists, and filmmakers. It was a Broadway play. It wasn't a Broadway play, but it was a musical in Japan.
I bet it was a Lifetime movie.
Story of her life. So we're going to talk about this dastardly deed that she committed.
I think you already did.
She, Sade Ebi.
Noonspa.
Was born on May 28, 1905, so she's got a birthday coming up, Brandy.
She does. Happy early birthday.
In Tokyo, Japan. Of course, the Colonel has been in Japan many
times. Yeah, I've been to Tokyo quite a few times.
I think he helped build it.
She was the seventh of eight children born to her parents. They had a upper middle class family in a trendy Tokyo neighborhood. Well, it was probably trendy before the war. After the war, maybe not so much.
Not so much.
Only four of the children survived into adulthood, Colonel. Of those, Sade was the youngest. I saw pictures of her. She's an attractive woman. I would probably let her strangle
Would
me.
You? Yeah. I'm shocked. Shocked by that. Good thing I was sitting down.
Her father was 52 when she was born. Is that old to have a child?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty damn old.
Do you have grown-ups at that
point? We're not old for the man. Kind of old for the woman. I mean, like, what, you're 51 now, so if you had a baby, that'd be pretty old.
How old am I? I don't even know anymore.
Well, I know you're not 51. You're not 48. I think you're in your mid-40s. Am I right?
Yeah.
Close.
Close to my mid-40s. Yes. I'm in my early 40s.
Early 40s until you're 45. And then you're
exactly. Okay. Early 40s.
But you got a lifetime of bitterness built up.
I know, but God, I look good.
You don't look bad, yeah.
Yeah, you don't look bad for your age.
I've held up well.
But I think...
It's all the clean living.
I think it's the anger and the rage and the hate that keeps you...
Well, it pinks up my skin. Yeah. Makes me look alive.
Or it could be you've been pickled by alcohol.
That too. Your nose a little bit red.
Whatever.
Okay, so I can't imagine what you guys are going to do next week when I'm gone.
It's going to be epic.
Oh, I worry about it.
Well, I told you we're going to do a story.
Do you even know how to upload the podcast?
What do you think? What do you think? We're mental defectives here?
Yes.
That's all right. When our shit gets major mega downloads and they say, oh, please do an off, do a spinoff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to leave you right behind, Timmy. Take your computer and take your ass home.
And so her dad was 52 when she was born, so he was an advanced age. Now, the police would later describe her father as an honest and upright man who had no vices, though some acquaintances reported him to be somewhat self-centered, Brandy, with a taste for the extravagant. Now, her mother, likewise was known for legal and moral blemishes on her record. So the family has...
Well, aren't we all? I'm not judging her.
Questionable background, her family. But her siblings and her dad did behave questionably. Her brother was known as a womanizer, Brandy. And after his marriage, he ran away with his parents' money.
Oh.
They owned a little... they owned a mat-making business.
Oh.
That's good. There's money in mats.
There's money in mats.
Mm. Her sister was named Taruku. She was also known to have several lovers.
Not judging.
Her father sent her to work in a brothel.
Of course you're not.
Oh, her father sent her to work at a brothel.
Well, the thing was, when back then, when women were sexually permissive, their parents sometimes
permissive?
Would send them to brothels.
Or promiscuous. I've heard it both ways.
They would send them to brothels. So, Brandy, I mean.
Are you?
Where would Brandy be at this point, girl?
Well, I believe Brandy would be.
Good thing she didn't grow up in Japan.
She'd be a master at this time. See, I think, do you start off as like an apprentice?
Yes.
And then work and your way up?
Yeah, we get into that.
Well, okay. You know, you have to be the dick checker first.
Yeah.
No, that's when you retire.
That's when you retire.
Oh.
I need CPP.
Well, I would think you'd start that way. That way you can recognize.
You remember, I don't know, you're too young, but Chucky, you remember when you were young and you go to the bank and they'd have an elevator operator, just some old person they'd have sitting in a chair to push the number.
Did he check your dick?
That's kind of what a dick checker is of the brothels. They kind of retire.
Did the elevator operator check your dick, Tim?
No, but they get jobs.
Did you wish he did?
Not really. I have no attraction to elevator operators unless they're...
Oh, so it's his profession that bothers you.
I have no idea where that was going. But back to Sarade.
Do we ever really?
Sarade. Let's talk about her, shall we? Because she's an interesting character, Brandy.
Well, then let's get on it.
She was born in 1905. So her sister was sent off to a brothel because she dated, you know, two or three boys, and that was just...
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
But eventually her father went and bought her back, so...
Oh, he bought her back.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
She was born in 1905. Her mother doted on her because she was the youngest child, or youngest daughter, and she let her do basically as she wished. So she was spoiled, Sade. She encouraged her to take singing and music lessons, but both activities at the time were closely associated with the geisha profession, Brandy, and prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, now you're giving geishas
like
a bad
grooming,
name.
Are they like grooming their kids to be whores?
Geishas are not prostitutes. There's a difference.
They're escorts.
Well, I
mean. Geishas are ladies that.
They're escorts.
They do shit with makeup or some shit. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, but aren't they just...
If we have any geishas audience, could you tell us?
No, they do the makeup thing. What?
They do makeup. But they're also classically trained in music and
poetry. Well, right,
because
aren't they groomed to be escorts? They're groomed to be what a man wants.
A companion.
A companion.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
Chuck.
So...
What do you think about that, Charles?
Yeah. They're not just about they're not just about giving head or anything. They got skill.
Who amongst us is?
They're cultured.
They're cultured whores.
Why do you use such vulgar terms?
Geishas were considered glamorous. They were like celebrities in a way. Only they, you know, slept with people. She started skipping regular school so she could take geisha lessons.
Well,
and started wearing stylish makeup. Because, you know, that's a sign of a whore.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Starts with eyeliner. All whorishness starts with the eyeliner.
Well, that's how they got to start somewhere. You start seeing your daughter putting on the makeup, Brandy. What do you think, Chuck?
Coco.
Why don't you find a pole?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So, as family problems, and, you know, they had some family problems with the brother and the sister, they became more pressing. She was often sent out of the house alone, so she wasn't getting a lot of attention from her parents. So she soon fell in with a crowd of independent teenagers, Brandy.
Uh-oh, not independent teenagers.
The old independent teenagers.
They're all assholes.
Independent Japanese teenagers.
Assholes.
At age 15, during one of these outings with these independent teenagers, she was raped by one of her acquaintances. Now, that's not cool.
No.
We condemn that.
That's
not cool at all. Possible terms.
That's not cool at all.
And but even though her parents defended and supported her, she became a difficult teenager, Brandy.
Well, yes, that happens.
Yes. Your thoughts on teenagers, Brandy?
I hate them.
And she soon became irresponsible and uncontrollable. Her parents sold her to a geisha house.
There we go.
In Yokohama.
Anything for a buck.
Yokohama. They make motorcycles. In 1922.
Yes, yes, they do.
And they obviously have geishas as well. They were hoping for her, that she would find her place in society and be given some direction.
As a whore.
Well, but, you know, it's not just a whore. It's a whole culture that they bring them up in. You know what I mean? It's more than just, you know, spreading their legs. That's just one small part, being a geisha.
It's a pretty important part, though. I mean,
when you get down to it, yeah.
Did they have? Oh, I bet they bound her feet and made her wear them little.
No, I think it's
crazy
things.
It's China.
Is it? Yeah, I think China's where they bound
your feet. I'm against that completely.
Having your feet bound.
Yeah, I'm out.
Although you can wear smaller shoes.
You can wear smile. You got some Sasquatch feet on you.
I do, but let me tell you something. Sandal season's a bitch for those people.
Yeah, it is.
They cannot pull off a flip flop.
They fall down a lot.
Oh,
they do fall down. It's like they got those little. It's like having really.
Having peg legs. It's like walking on peg legs.
It's like having.
I wonder if any of our listeners have bound feet. If you do, let us know.
Unless it's a fetish, then that don't let us know that.
I'm sure if we read through some of the threads on History Dweebs with those freaky-ass people, there's six or seven that got bound feet, bound ankles, bound
testes.
I know the women on our page are going to love this story because she cuts off a man's dick.
Women Can love we get a to good it already? Dick-cutting story.
Well, yeah, they do. Well, so anyway.
He might have deserved it.
So she ends up being a geisha, and she claims that her father made her become a geisha because she had dated different boys.
He sold her to the geisha people.
The geisha gang.
There's money in that there.
You know, when we.
There's money vagina. In that pussy.
This is what disturbs me.
Yes.
When Timmy just said, oh, we're going to talk about a woman who cut off a man's penis, I thought the air conditioning dropped down to 40 degrees in here, devil.
Well.
Because you was all flush.
She did seem pretty happy when she
shared
that.
She did. It was
like giddy.
We had a different script that we was going to do. She threw that one right.
No, she was like, "Nude, do the penis cutting. Do the penis cutting."
Yeah, and you know Amber and all the women on our Facebook page.
Well, Amber's probably cut off a penis or two in a day.
Okay, well let's get on. Let's get
okay,
to it.
Okay, so they encountered with the geisha's world. She proved her experience as a geisha would prove to be frustrating and disappointing. To become a true star required geishas to have an apprenticeship from childhood. They actually start when they're like 4 or 5 years old.
That's gross.
Well, they don't start sexual then, but they start
grooming. Still gross.
Them. Oh, yeah, I agree. From her childhood, and years, they spend years studying art, music, and literature so that they can be a true companion to a man like Charles or myself who needs this.
I don't want to be a true companion to a man.
No, I'm saying that we need women who can challenge us intellectually.
I do need a woman who can challenge me intellectually. Yeah?
Yeah. And we're not just looking at boot. Well, mostly just
Well,
boot.
Mostly we are, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they're
brains and boobs are
Here's
important
the thing.
Things.
Maybe we're not the target of that industry.
Maybe I could find a middle schooler for the both of you to challenge you. How's that?
That's vile, devil.
I didn't say you had to sleep with her. I just said you wanted to be mentally challenged. I said I'll find a middle schooler.
We've been called mentally challenged before.
We have been called mentally
challenged. Some of our reviews have kind
I've
of,
been called mentally defective.
Yes.
They don't really appreciate his genius.
They don't.
They really don't, Brandon.
You know who I feel? I feel much like Van Gogh, Timmy.
You aren't misunderstood?
Misunderstood
and missing an ear.
Underappreciated in my time.
Would you cut off your ear or a penis?
I might lop off an ear.
That's the least you can do for someone
If it
you
offends
love.
The, it's from the Bible, from Colonel Lyticus.
Iglesias.
Colonel Lyticus.
Colonel
Iglesias.
Iglesias. Colonel Lyticus.
Uh-huh.
10:13, Timmy.
Okay, I'm going to look
it up. If thine ear offends thee...
Cut it off.
Yeah. Cut that motherfucker right off your head.
If thy penis offend thee.
No, my penis has never offended me.
It's not offended you. It offends others.
I'll let that go.
So, Colonel, and when you and the missus, have you ever talked about, all right, just wondering if you ever get freaky. Brandy?
What?
Do you know Brandy gets freaky?
Like,
Brandy?
No, I was, you know.
Let me ask you this, Brandy. From your days, from the time you left home, did you ever get a security deposit back on an apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the holes in the walls and the shackles hanging from the ceiling and everything else. You didn't get your security deposit back.
Of course I did.
Creating a little dungeon room. And
first of all, you don't worry about what I do. You worry about what you do.
You just wonder what's going to happen tonight on her birthday, man.
Oh, you know it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I pity Dave.
Dave is working.
She's got the old cat of nine tails on.
Yeah. Well, if Dave's working, who's going to tie up and whip?
Nobody. I'm going to sit in my chair like an old lady with the blanket on and watch Murder, She Wrote. Yeah. Watch Murder, She Wrote. Man, there's a marathon on.
You going to binge Matlock?
I might. There's a marathon of Murder, She Wrote on.
All right.
That doesn't just come along every day.
Sade did not mind the life of a geisha, but at times she found it all a bit boring, Brandy. Because, you know, it's not all about sex. It's,
you know, not one
I know,
time
you keep saying that.
In that whole series, did Angela Lansbury punch somebody in the face? How the fuck you going to be a detective without punching somebody in
Angela
the face?
Angela Lansbury's badass.
No, you got to punch somebody in the face.
But isn't it coincidence that she always just happens to come on all
I
these
think
murders?
She was the fucking killer, Timmy.
Serial killer.
She was the killer.
Well, that's like Scooby-Doo. What? Yeah. It just happens that their van breaks down at the side of the old Thompson home.
I know we've talked about the sexual relations of the Scooby-Doo cast, but... What about, do you think at, which one?
I'm Velma, anti-Scrappy.
Velma, do you think she swung both ways, Colonel?
Oh, yeah, she did. Who was
now, then you got a pretty good gaydar.
I apparently don't, Timmy. Apparently, I'm way off there.
Well, Brandy, Velma, you think she's snapped?
I think Velma was just a nerd. She's all undercover. She's just.
No, but you know what? Velma, I bet, was so freaky when you got her going, Timmy.
Really?
Oh, I bet
I think
she was
her
crazy.
And Shaggy hooked up a lot. On the sly.
Yeah. Yeah. She told people shit. You know,
well, Scooby-Doo's got a little nephew, right?
Scrappy. I'm anti-Scrappy.
Where is his parents?
I don't know. I wish they'd ate him at birth. I hate that little motherfucker.
Hate Scrappy?
I hate Scrappy.
Jesus Christ, how can you hate a dog?
I hate
Scrappy,
that fucking dog.
Scrappy-Doo.
I hate Scrappy-Doo.
You hate Scooby
I can't stress
too?
This enough. I hate Scrappy-Doo.
What about Scooby?
I love Scooby.
I don't understand how you could hate.
You're a dog
hates.
Racist, devil.
I'm not. They're the same motherfucking dog. They're the same motherfucking kind of dog.
Then how could you hate?
Yeah.
Hate Scrappy.
Why do you have
Scrappy
hate?
Doesn't, I mean, it's why? Just a little kid.
Why do you, why
Scrappy's an asshole.
Why do you have hate in your heart for a dog, devil?
I have hate in my heart for Scrappy. Oh. Much like the hate in my heart for Godfather 3. I
no,
have hate there.
I'm going to tell you, Godfather 3
nope.
is integral to the wrap-up of the story.
No.
It
That's
brings
when
it
Michael
all together.
Looks for redemption.
Let me tell you something. I get that. The acting's bad. Everything about it is bad. I get the necessity of it. I get why there should have been one. It
it's
was
got
a poorly,
Andy Garcia in it.
And I love him. This was a poorly, poorly made movie. I can't talk about it. It makes my reflux
is
act up.
Is that one guy in there that played in Brian's song? Brian.
James Caan?
Yeah.
No, honey, he
got
died.
Killed.
Oh. He got killed in the first one.
Okay.
For Pete's sake. Fucking watch. Have you watched The Godfather?
I think I've parts of it.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Oh, the Gotti will be released soon.
I know.
Yes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They filmed it here in Cincinnati, right next to our office here.
Oh.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Okay, keep going.
All right, Sade. Anyway, so she worked as a geisha. She thought it was boring. She did not like the fact, Colonel, that her customers rarely satisfied her sexually.
She's going to have to learn to live with that disappointment.
Well, I mean,
we all do.
If you're a geisha, though, you shouldn't expect that, right?
Well, yeah, but she clearly is.
Yeah, I mean, if you're selling it, you're not supposed to benefit from it. I mean, she wants her cake and eat it too, basically, here.
She does.
She worked 5 years in the capacity of a geisha, and she eventually contracted syphilis, Brandy.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen. It's a job hazard. I wonder if she got workers' comp.
I don't know. But she since this meant she would be required then to undergo regular examinations, because they keep a pretty good tab on those geisha girls, she decided to kind of work outside the geisha realm.
Oh, she went rogue.
Yeah, because it was highly regulated.
Oh, she's freelancing then.
Exactly.
Okay, she's a freelance geisha.
She became a prostitute in a brothel district that I can't pronounce, Tobita, I think, a brothel district, and soon gained a reputation as a troublemaker, Brandy.
You'll have that.
She stole money from clients and attempted to leave the brothel several times, but was tracked down by the well-organized legal prostitution system. So I guess she was under contract, and she tried to jump.
Oh, you can't just break the contract. Well, but if you ain't 18, how you ended into a contract?
Well, I think she's a little bit older now.
She worn out by then.
Yeah, she's like 17. After 2 years, she eventually succeeded in escaping this this prostitution system.
I believe the South succeeded.
And she succeeded.
She began working as a waitress.
In a cocktail bar?
Maybe. What? I love that song.
That guy
was a little creepy.
Yes, he was weird.
Yeah. He was a stalker.
Yeah, a little bit.
But in all fairness, he did give her a start. Where would she have been without him?
Nowhere. Yeah.
Well, she was working in a waitress as a cocktail bar.
No, she was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
That much is true.
Yeah.
But she thought she would make it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But even then, she thought she'd with have or a much without better you. Life. With, yeah. Or without him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I think he's got a point that he helped her, and she should be a little grateful for that.
Fuck that.
It's a question I have for you all the time, Devil. Don't you want me, baby?
I do not. But thanks for asking.
Okay.
All right. So she became a prostitute in Tokyo, and she became a mistress for the very first time, Brandy.
Now she's going upscale on us.
Her father became seriously ill in January of 1934, and she nursed him for 10 days until his death.
That was big of her.
Right.
She probably killed him.
10 whole days?
Cut off his dick.
No. Ish. She loved daddy. In 1934, she was arrested in a police raid on an unlicensed brothel in Tokyo, which she'd been working. Now, Kinosaki Kashara was a well-connected friend of the brothel owner and arranged to have the women released. So he could pull.
That's cool.
He pulled some strings, got the girls released, and he was attracted to Sade. And finding that she had no debts, I don't know why that's important, but, he probably did a little background.
Why isn't her name Sada?
Sade is how it's
don't you remember the singer?
I looked it up on
I know.
Sade?
I know the singer.
Her name was spelled Sade, but she was Sade.
I don't like her music at all.
Okay, good to know. Let's keep it moving.
It's like my name is C-H-U-C-K.
Oh, Brandy has her birthday lunch today.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going, Devil?
Don't know.
She's making her employees buy her lunch.
You bringing us something back?
I think that's...
Fuck no.
I think that's illegal.
You get nothing. I don't think it is.
I believe it violates all kinds of federal regulations.
Yeah, it's personal servitude.
Yeah. Indentured servitude.
Yeah. So this guy, this is this big shot that got these girls out of trouble. He was attracted to Sade. And finding that she had no debts, and I guess that's important. You do a background.
It is important.
She was not an unattractive
woman.
Because
if he's gonna take her, then she's got to be,
He made arrangements to have her as his mistress.
Dude, I want that motherfucker because he could pay off my student loans.
Well, he set her a house up for her.
See,
on December 20th, 1934. That's right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Of course, probably didn't mean a whole lot in Japan, but
no.
And he provided her with money, Randy. Now later he would recall her and said, quote, She was really strong, a real powerful one, that woman. Even though I'm pretty jaded, she was enough to astound me. She wasn't satisfied unless we did it, meaning sex, 2, 3, or 4 times a night, Colonel. To her, it was unacceptable.
That's nothing.
It was unacceptable unless I had my hand on her private parts all night long.
Oh, not long.
You know,
at first
Letterman must not have been on.
Yeah.
At first it was great, but after a couple of weeks, I got a little exhausted.
She had a little chafed.
Well, he was dehydrated.
He had his hands on her private parts all night long, Brandon.
That's annoying.
No, she wanted that.
I know. That's annoying. I don't
know.
So
apparently she had an insatiable sexual appetite, is what I'm getting at here.
I see that.
Okay, I'm setting this up.
I wish you would.
When you start doing your part, people will get all confused. I'm trying to keep it.
Well, that would be because of the writing, not because of the delivery.
When she suggested that Kashara leave his wife to marry her, he refused, Brandy.
Yeah.
She then asked him She then asked him if she could take a lover. Which he refused.
Oh, he won't even let her have a lover.
Well, look, I mean, look at fair. In fairness to him, he set up a house, paying her rent, and giving her money.
Well, but if he's not doing
she still wants the D.
If he's not hitting it in the right spot, she should be able to take a lover.
After that, their relationship ended, Brandon.
I can imagine.
And to escape him, she left to another village and again applied her trade as a sex worker.
All right.
So, Colonel, she's going from being a whore to a mistress to being a whore.
It's
and a waitress.
It's never
a vicious
cycle.
Yeah.
In 1935, again intending to leave the sex industry, she began working as a maid in a restaurant.
A maid in a restaurant.
That's what it says here on the page.
Never know they had a lot of maids. Those jobs are hard to get.
You also,
yeah.
Also in the sentence, you called her Abe, so I'm just...
Well, that was her last name.
Abe Bagoda.
Yeah, with the eyebrows.
E.B. is how you pronounce it, but go ahead.
Okay, she soon became romantically involved with a customer at the restaurant.
Always a bad
Goro
idea.
Goro Amaya, a professor and banker who aspired to become a member of Japanese Parliament.
Okay.
Knowing that the restaurant would not tolerate a maid having sexual relations with clients and bored with her new village, she returned to Tokyo in June.
Okay.
Amaya took Sade to Tokyo when he found out that she had contracted syphilis. He paid for her stay in a hot springs resort in Kusatsu from November until January of 1936, and it was believed at the time that hot springs could cure syphilis.
You mean it doesn't?
Yeah, well. In January of 1936, Amaya suggested that Sade could become financially independent by opening a small restaurant and recommended that she should start work in an apprentice position in such a business.
That's just good advice.
Why? What about her screams restaurateur?
Well, she was a maid.
Not unless she's serving fish tacos.
She had experience as a maid.
Fish tacos. Let's see. The owner of this establishment, and that is a name I'm not going to try and pronounce, at the time, had worked his way up in business, starting as an apprentice at an eel restaurant.
Yeah, listeners, don't worry about the details of this because Brandy can't pronounce the name. It's okay. It's fine, Brandy. Don't worry about it.
Brandy, have you ever
Kichatsio Ishida.
Kind of goddamn important to the story, don't you think?
See, no.
That's why I can't do any scripts outside the United States because you guys can't pronounce words. Brandy,
Really? You podcast like fucking Porky Pig sitting over there and I can't pronounce words?
Have you ever been to an eel restaurant?
I've never been to an eel restaurant or an eel restaurant.
No, right. See, no, hold on.
See, it would be nice if you had a worldwide experience that you could contribute to this podcast.
Let me ask you a question. Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
In all your world travels,
yes,
in countries where there's, you know,
yes,
eel is a major food group.
Yes.
Have you ever not found a Domino's and eaten it for almost every meal?
And McDonald's.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But I'm just.
Palate is so exotic.
I'm just pointing out, you know, it would be nice if you guys were a little bit more worldly, that's all. Could contribute.
Mean more worldly, Jimmy?
Well, you're worldly, Colonel.
I have fought in battles on 6 continents.
Not this world, but he is worldly.
He's been given the Congressional Medal of Honor. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that.
Yeah. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile, Timmy. Huh? I've seen the headwaters of the Nile.
Have you really?
I have.
No. He saw it on Google Earth.
You've been to Amazon?
I have been.
This guy that really won't get on a plane.
I have stayed with
anywhere.
Tribes that have never seen a Caucasian man before.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
It's bullshit. Can I get on with this?
Oh, please
I
do,
have led men into battle with horses, tanks, infantry.
You know, he has been
swords.
Compared to. What was the guy?
Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
And
no.
I have loved. With the passion a flea like you could never understand.
You're
the passion of a flea.
These fleas are pretty passionate. But he reminds me of the Scottish warrior, you know, Mel Tillis. Not Mel Tillis, but...
Mel Tillis? Mel Tillis?
How the Mel, fuck can you be Scottish and have a stutter?
Just, right, what's the,
you know
what's
what
the,
would suck is that, you know, because Scottish
Mel
and
Tillis?
Irish accents
what's the guy's
are
name?
Just a...
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, yeah.
Well, it's easy to get those two confused. Yeah.
He's been compared to Mel Gibson.
You know, Scottish and Irish
as
and,
you have been compared to Mel Tillis?
And Australian, you know, they're just immediate panty droppers for women. Uh-huh. But then, how would you like to be born with one of those accents and have a stutter?
I don't
like,
think...
Hey, mate.
It doesn't matter.
It would fuck everything up
it
for you.
It wouldn't. All right.
So you're saying that you were attracted to stuttering Irishmen and stuttering Scots.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Let's see. Okay, so... This guy worked
to
his way up
his
in the business,
own, Brandy.
And he'd started as an apprentice in an eel restaurant. So now he has opened the Yoshidaya in Tokyo's Nakano neighborhood.
Colonel, have you ever ate eel?
Could you repeat the question, please?
No. Have you?
Eel? Uh-huh. Eel? Have I ever eaten one of
eel?
Did you
ever eat eel? Did you? It's like soup. Yeah,
no,
I mean, you
I
eat
haven't.
Soup when you're ill, don't you?
I eat soup when I'm ill.
All right.
Yeah.
You're not going to take this seriously.
No, you're
goddamn,
right.
Goddamn, I would not put one of those slippery things in my mouth to save my life. If I was in the middle of a desert and an eel walked up to me, Timmy, I would not eat the sumbitch.
If I gave you a dollar, could you shut the fuck up so we can get on with this?
Well, just read and try to get the words right.
I'm trying.
Staff buying her lunch today.
Huh?
Her staff is buying her lunch.
Are they buying you ill?
I feel all right. I feel good. All right, so in 1920, they opened this in the Nakano neighborhood. When Sade joined this restaurant, Ishida was known as a womanizer who did very little in the way of running the restaurant, which was managed mostly by his wife.
Well, that doesn't seem very fair.
Not long after she began to work with Yoshidaya, Ishida began making advances towards her. Now, shocking. Amaya had never satisfied... Abby sexually.
Okay.
And she gave in to Ishidia. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? In mid-April.
Okay, so this restaurant, she's working with the restaurant. Now this manager is trying to bang her.
Right.
Well, he's banging her, basically.
Well, yeah. So in mid-April, the two of them initiated their sexual relationship in the restaurant.
Okay.
To the...
Colonel, you ever done it in a restaurant?
Wait a minute. It gets better.
I've done it on a grill.
Okay. While it was on...
Timmy,
to
McDonald's... had to change their sign because of the colonel.
Okay.
What did they change it to?
Well, they changed it to...
1 million
like
and one served.
1 million and one served.
Right.
I see.
All right. So wait a minute. So they're doing it in the restaurant to the accompaniment of a romantic ballad sung by one of the restaurant's geishas. So they had an audience. They had dinner and a show.
I wish I had a restaurant geisha.
On April 23rd, 1936, Abe and Ishida... met for a prearranged sexual encounter at a tea house, or the contemporary equivalent of a love hotel.
Have you ever been to a love hotel, Brandy?
No.
Love
in
shack,
the Shibaya.
It's a little old place.
In the Shibaya neighborhood.
You haven't been ever. You ever been to the love shack, devil?
Planning only a short fling, the couple remained in bed for four days.
She's ignoring the question.
And how long were they in the love?
They were in bed for 4 days.
That's a long time to be in bed.
On the night of April 22nd, 1936, they moved to another tea house because the first one got tired of all their bullshit noise in the distant neighborhood of Futako.
Okay. They're in Futako now.
Yes. Here they continued to drink and have sex, sometimes with the accompaniment of a geisha singing. They would continue even as maids entered the room to serve sake. Don't mind us.
You know, the next time I have sex, I'm going to hire a geisha to come in and sing.
All right.
You know, to me that would be disturbing. And what about the geisha? Don't you think it would kind of throw her off in her singing to sit there and sing while these couple are...
I don't know. Maybe she can keep the rhythm with whatever they're doing.
I guess it's like a violinist at a restaurant.
Yeah, those are annoying. I don't like those. I do not like bands coming over to me at restaurants.
Do you often?
You know what happened to me in Chicago, and it disturbed me badly, Timmy?
What was that, Colonel?
And she was an attractive woman, but I'm sitting down. We go into this restaurant to eat. I sit down, and I was the other people had gone in front of me, and then I came in last, and a waitress came up behind me to get my drink order, and she put her hand right in the middle of my back, Timmy, and she asked me for my drink.
To let you know you're back there, she's back there.
I was sitting.
Doesn't matter.
She was coming to the table.
That seems to me to be sexually
inappropriate. It's unwanted touch. It's unwanted touch.
Brandy, she don't give a fuck about you.
Brandy, what's your thoughts on that, this woman touching him inappropriately?
He's an idiot. All right. So they're moving from neighborhood.
Could have had her arrested.
So they moved their marathon lovemaking bout to the Ogu neighborhood.
Have you ever had a marathon lovemaking bout, Colonel?
Every time, Timmy.
Ishida did not return to the restaurant until the morning of May 8th, 1936.
A day before my birthday.
Yeah. Of Ishida, Abe later said, it's hard to say exactly what was so good about Ishida, but it was impossible to say anything bad about his looks, his attitudes, his skill as a lover, the way he expressed his feelings. Hmm. I had never met such a sexy man.
So she worked in a restaurant, just to be clear. She worked in a restaurant, lopped off penises.
Not yet, but she's working in a restaurant.
Well, we don't know. And this, Timmy, is why I never ordered sushi.
Perfect.
Because it comes in those rolls. Randy. You know what? Comes in rolls, chopped in nice little things.
It looks like penises.
It does. You stuff a penis with rice and seaweed or whatever the hell it is.
I mean, there's really not that much difference, Brandy, between sushi and a penis.
No, I would think not. After they separated, Sade became agitated and began drinking excessively. She claimed that with Ishida, she'd known love for the first time in her life, and the thought that he was back with his wife made her jealous.
Okay.
Over a week before the murder, Sade began considering the act. On May 9th, 1936, she attended a play in which a geisha attacks her lover with a large knife. After seeing this, Sade Abe decided to threaten Ishida with a knife on their next meeting.
Okay.
On May 11th, 1936,
day after your birthday.
Yes, she pawned some of her clothing and used the money to buy some sushi and a kitchen knife.
She pawned her clothing?
Yes.
Why didn't she just steal a kitchen knife?
I don't know. Abe later described the meeting.
So she's going to cut off a penis, but she got honor. She won't see. She worked in a restaurant. You know they got all kinds of sharp knives. She got all kinds of places to hide a knife. She could have walked out easily with that knife.
Abe later described meeting Ishida that night.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled the kitchen knife out of my bag and threatened him, as had been done in the play I'd seen. I said, Kichi, you wore that kimono just to please one of your favorite customers, you bastard. I'll kill you for that.
See, and that's why you got, there's violence on television, violence in the theater.
Video games.
Yes. That's
Well, this freak show. He was startled and drew away a little, but he seemed delighted with it all.
It's a little hot.
Ishida and Abe returned to Ogu, where they remained until his death. During their lovemaking this time, Abe put the knife to the base of Ishida's penis and said she would make sure he would never play around with another woman.
Colonel, ever had a knife put on your penis?
I have.
Ishida laughed at this. Two nights into
See,
this...
See, that's what I mean. Women always laugh when it comes to penises, like kick him in the ball.
They do that. Nothing more disconcerting than having a woman
Ishida
laugh at your penis.
He laughed.
Yeah. Oh, well, I see. That's inappropriate.
Yeah. Two nights into this bout of sex, Sade began choking Ishida, and he told her to continue, saying that this increased his pleasure. She had him choke her as well.
Oh, yeah.
On the evening
We got a bunch of chokers on our page.
Do you think there's women on our in our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group, who's experienced choking?
They post about it all the time. They're on, like, Craigslist, like, come choke me. You know who you are.
On the evening of May 16th, 1936, Abe used her sash to cut off Ishida's breathing during orgasm, and they both enjoyed it. They repeated this for two more hours. Once Abe stopped the strangulation, Ishida's face became distorted, and he would not return. Women.
Yes.
And he would not return to his normal appearance.
Because he was dead.
Ishida took 30 tablets of a sedative.
He looked so peaceful.
Called Calmotin to try and soothe his pain. According to Sade, as Ishida started to doze, he told her, "You'll put that cord around my neck and squeeze it again while I'm sleeping, won't you? If you start to strangle me, don't stop because it's so painful afterwards." Sade commented.
Wait, what's your thought on that, Brandy?
Weirdo.
You think that she might be lying, though.
Sade commented that she wondered if he wanted her to kill him, but on reflection decided he must have been joking. About 2 o'clock a.m. on the morning of May 18th, 1936, as Ishida was asleep, Sada wrapped her sash twice around his neck and strangled him to death because he was joking.
Yeah.
She later told police, "After I had killed Ishida, I felt totally at ease, as though a heavy burden had been lifted from my shoulders and I felt a sense of clarity."
I wonder, you know, once you cut the blood supply off to his brain and head and everything else, it got nowhere else to go. So you know that guy had a rager.
And probably, it's probably what she cut.
Has that been your experience when you choke men? Do they get more stiffier?
Gets more stimulated down.
Do they get
the
stiffier down there,
region?
After lying with Ishida's body for a few hours, she next severed his genitalia with the kitchen knife.
See, this is very disconcerting to me.
Hold on. We need a trigger warning here. Before you're going to say that kind of stuff, you need to warn me now, devil. You know that stuff kind of triggers me and sets me off into a panic.
See, because she doesn't have a penis. She doesn't.
So she does now. She's over 40.
You'll learn to appreciate that one day soon.
So she took this guy's junk.
She took his penis.
And, it's not just his penis. She took his junk.
Okay. Can we just stop for 1 second here? Just 1 second. I do not, and women started this as a hostile movement toward men. I do not like my genitalia, which has been described as near perfect, described as junk.
Okay.
My genitalia is not junk. Okay, it's a treasure. It's a treasure down there in my pants. I don't have junk in my pants. I got a treasure in my pants. I got the Mona Lisa in my pants.
One woman's junk is another woman's treasure.
Yeah.
Not pleasure.
In this case.
Yeah.
Not. All right. So she took his junk, wrapped it in a magazine cover, and then kept them with her until her arrest three days later.
Was time.
With the blood, she wrote Sada Kichi together on Ishida's left thigh and on a bedsheet.
See, that's incriminating.
She then carved her name into his left arm.
That's also incriminating.
After putting on his underwear, she left the inn at about 8 a.m., telling the staff not to disturb him.
She wore the man's underwear?
When later asked why she had severed Ishida's genitalia, Sade replied, "Because I couldn't take his head or body with me, and I wanted to take part of him that brought me back the most vivid memories."
Do you know that poor bastard could never be a samurai now, Timmy?
Because he's dead?
Because he lost his sword.
And he's dead.
Now, she was a samurai. Walking around with a flop, 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 flop.
Yeah, she's walking around with this penis in her handbag.
Where else is she going to put it?
I'm going to tell you this. Well, I'll tell you this. You cut off my penis, you better come with more than a handbag. You better come at me
with a bowling bag. Like with a weekender?
a bowling bag, a duffel bag. You better come at me with a chainsaw. Because ain't no butcher knife going to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Please.
People have tried to do it before. I got scars. Now, after leaving the inn, Sodomite met her previous lover and benefactor, Goro Omiya. She repeatedly apologized to him, but Omiya, unaware of the murder, assumed that she was apologizing for taking another lover. Sade's apologies for the damage to his political career that she knew his association with her was bound to cause.
It's going to be a scandal.
It's going to be ugly. When Ishida, you can say what you want about our political leaders, but ain't nobody cut off a penis yet. So.
Well, we got to stop for a second because Brandy has to go. Have a happy birthday, Brandy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Don't trash my office.
You won't.
You will.
We will finish, wrap this up. The Colonel will bring us home. You sure you don't want to see how this ends, Brandy?
I figured it out.
Okay, Colonel. Bring us home, Colonel.
All right, where are we at, Timmy? In 1936, the newspapers picked up on a story. Mia's career was ruined, and Sade's life was under intense public scrutiny. The story of the murder and mutilation immediately became a national sensation.
A national sensation, Brandy.
National sensation, Brandy. Wow. And the ensuing frenzy over her search was called the Abby Sada Panic. Now, police received reports of sightings of her in various cities, and one false sighting nearly caused a stampede in the city outside Tokyo, resulted in a large traffic jam and men covering up their junk
Wouldn't you head out of town if there's reports that she's in the neighborhood?
No, I wouldn't worry too much about her, Timmy.
All right.
I wouldn't worry about her. I've had tougher than her try to rip my penis off of me, Timmy.
You've survived this to this
point. I have survived penis attacks before. I have.
All right.
Abe Panic was soon nationwide, with men fearing that a penis-snatching geisha was on the loose. That's worse than a werewolf.
There's nothing worse than a penis-snatching geisha.
No, I mean, if you combined a werewolf and a vampire and a zombie, it wouldn't be worse than a penis-snatching geisha.
Yeah, that's things that nightmares are made of.
It is. I'm going to check under my bed for a penis-snatcher when I go to sleep tonight. There were reports of Sada sightings as far away as Hong Kong. Now, it was falsely reported that Sada was wanted for snatching 18 peni in Japan.
That's a lot.
And several more in China. Now, of course, these reports were driven solely by panic. She remained in Tokyo living a pretty normal life. And on May 19th, she went shopping, saw a movie, stayed in an inn, and drank 3 beers.
Okay.
She spent the day writing farewells to letters to Omiya. She planned to commit suicide 1 week after the murder, and it was here that she practiced necrophilia. Oh, what did it? Oh,
now see, it's good.
How are you going to get a boner on a detached penis?
Well, she didn't think it through, obviously.
Yeah,
did she? I wish Brandy was here so she could give us her take on the necrophilia.
Well, she, you know, Brandy's all for necrophilia.
Oh, I've seen the magazines that she has.
Yeah, it's disturbing. Yeah, you really look at those books right over there in the corner.
I know, it's ghastly.
Ooh. She said, I felt attached to Ishida's penis and thought that only after taking leave from it quietly could I then die. I unwrapped the paper holding them and gazed lovingly at his penis and scrotum.
She gazed lovingly.
Hold on.
All right.
Now, see, this is something that normally you would like to hear, Timmy.
Okay.
But in everything is context in life, Timmy.
Okay.
Everything is context.
Everything is, have to put it in context.
And in this context, I am not keen on hearing this sentence.
What did she say?
I put his penis in my mouth.
Oh.
And even tried to insert it in me.
Well, his detached penis, I should add.
Yes.
Yes.
Normally, when a woman says, oh, I would like to put a penis in my mouth.
And you're all for it.
You're all like, well, that sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah.
But when she's holding your penis in a hand to me.
Yes.
And she says, oh, now I'm going to be like a popsicle.
That's a horse of a different color.
It absolutely is, Timmy. Now, she said, I decided I would flee, staying with Ishida's penis all the while. In the end, I would jump from a cliff on Mount Ikoma while holding on to his penis. What she wasn't planning on is he had an exceptionally large scrotum, Timmy, and it turned into a parachute, and she didn't die, Timmy.
I don't think that's in the script at all.
Now, four in the afternoon, police was notified that a woman had checked into the inn acting strangely. Upon arrival, detectives became suspicious of the alias and came to her room.
Yeah, they were suspicious by her, the alias that she used.
Well, and they were also suspicious that she was carrying around a penis.
Well.
And she said to them, don't be so formal. You're looking for Sada Abe, right? Well, that's me. That's me. I'm Sada Abe. Police were not convinced. So she whipped out the penis as proof, Timmy.
Yeah, that'll convince them.
She was arrested and interrogated over 8 sessions. The interrogating officer was struck by her demeanor and asked why she killed Ishida. Immediately, she became excited, and her eyes sparkled in a strange way, and she got all tingly down there, Timmy. Her answer was, I loved him so much, I wanted him all to myself. But since we were not husband and wife, as long as he lived, he could be embraced by another woman. I knew that if I killed him, no other woman could ever touch him again, so I killed him.
She's a little selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Women can be selfish.
Oh, I've had women kill over me.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
When the details of the crime were made public, rumors began to circulate that the penis was of extraordinary size. However, the police who interrogated her after arrest denied this, saying Aisha was just average. But, you know, in fairness, it had shrunken up quite a bit, I suppose.
It started
sitting around in that purse, yeah. Now, Sada said size does not make a man.
Okay.
Technique and his desire to please me, what I liked about him. Now, that's not altogether true because size matters, Timmy. Size matters.
Maybe not in Japan.
Maybe not. I don't know. After arrest, his penis and testicles were moved to Tokyo University Medical School and put on public display. But
did they get an honorary degree?
They've since disappeared. No one knows where. It's the great penis.
They lost the penis?
They lost this pecker. And that's one thing I can say to me. I you know how I misplace things.
Yeah.
But I always know where my penis is,
yeah.
Timmy.
You might lose your watch or your wallet, phone. Yeah.
But I know where my penis is all the time. Now, the judge presiding over the trial admitted to being sexually aroused by some of the details and was found often with his hand under his robe and his eyes squinty, making kind of a Bruce Springsteen-ish face. But he made sure that the trial was held with utmost seriousness.
It sounds like it.
Her statement said, "The thing I regret most is that I have come to be misunderstood as some kind of sexual pervert."
Yeah, I think that's a misunderstanding.
There had never been a man in my life like Ishida. There were men that I liked and with whom I slept without accepting money, but none made me feel the way I feel toward him. She was convicted of murder, Timmy, in the second degree, a mutilation of a corpse. And I say mutilation, that should be aggravated mutilation because they chopped off his penis.
Well, a penis is, it is aggravated. It should be aggravated.
It should be aggravated because she was aggravated when she cut it off. Now, they refused to... They refused to give Sada what she wanted. Instead, she was sentenced to 6 years in prison. She was confined in the penitentiary.
Wow, 6 years in prison?
Where she was, just six, one for each inch, Timmy.
One for each inch.
She got a year for every inch, Timmy.
I see.
So anyway, it was her sentence was commuted in 1940. So she only really did a short time for that. Now, she lived under an alias and found a public fascination with the case made starting a new life impossible. She left prison without any real income, no penis or testicles, and lived with her sister and brother-in-law for a time. But wartime rationing forced her to support herself under the name Yoshi Masoki, and I believe they used that in a video game later.
Okay.
She went to work as a maid, but was fired when her employers learned her true identity, Sade the penis snatcher.
Yeah, I can understand them letting them go after that.
A serious man then asked her to become his mistress and reluctantly accepted. The relationship ended after several years when his family learned who she really was. She disappeared from public life in 1970, and men, nobody knows where she is now.
Yeah.
Grab your penis. Protect your penis. I actually got it. I wear a cup all the time, Timmy.
To protect your penis.
Just to protect our penis.
Well, Colonel, what's your final thoughts on this young lady, Sade Ibe?
I don't like it, to me, because now they can do, I told you, they can do penis transplants.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always afraid that I'm going to wake up one night missing my penis.
So you're afraid that you might be a
Somebody's going to sell my penis on the black market, Timmy.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, Colonel. I really do, too. I do.
That's why I got a tattoo on it, Timmy. So I can identify.
What's the tattoo say?
It just says, "If found, please return to the colonel." You know how you have dogs chipped, Timmy?
Yeah.
I got my penis chipped.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
know
you can do
chip
that.
Your penis.
You can do that.
Oh, well. Colonel, let's give a shout out to all those wonderful
people who sponsor us on Patreon, Timmy.
If you would like to sponsor us on Patreon, go to
this high quality. Yeah.
Support the arts.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
It's just a wee little bit to me.
And we'd also like to encourage you to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps people find us. So give a shout-out, Colonel, to all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
Ben Dobrovich, Jaro, James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry, Stafford, Malachi, my wonderful host on Rants and Reason, Shelley Garrett,
Check out Rants and Reasons on iTunes if you like current events, history,
yes,
pop culture, politics.
It's mostly current events and kind of a factual look thing to me. Yes. It's a look at the facts, not the opinions.
I see.
Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Spoda. I got to tell you a funny story though. To me,
okay.
we were doing a story on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Shelley that, Shelley, I believe this is a little too long. I think it's too many pages. And we're working on a Google document together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what she did? This true story, Tim.
What'd she do?
She changed the font size and cut it down. She said, now it's 9 pages. Is that all right? So.
Yeah, well, that was kind of bright.
I don't know if she was being sarcastic or not to me. Anyway, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Svoboda, Maggie Glover, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, the lovely and beautiful Maja, who we really love.
We love Maja.
Tyrone, Amber Scoville, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alisop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, our friends, Ben and Roseanne from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Mike Deo, Kelly Schrett, Karen Widener, Callie, beautiful Callie.
Kelly Jones.
Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike from Pleasing Terrors, LK. Reen, Ursula, Marissa Albany, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, the Now America History Podcast with Joe Hopkins, Catherine Cockeridge Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, History Goes Bump, of course, the Rants and Reason Podcast, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut. Yes, Jeff and Don Chestnut, yes. Backroads to History, and poems by Jeff, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, we love you, Shirley, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Kristen Malachinsky, Paula Kimes, Per Westerman, Amanda Christine, Heather Poole, Adam McWaters, The Vanish Podcast,
with Marissa.
Christy Lee, Canadian True Crime Insight, Charlie and Allie, Joe Clifford, Mistress Vader, Rob Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Jess, John V, Nene, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Kristen Howell, Cheryl Weldon, Nicholas, Ryan, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Michelle Johns, Clark
Michelle
and
John
Diane,
our
good friends, the Trowbridges, yes. Beth Wallen, Andrew Scammell, Michaela Wallstrom, Aaron Fowler, the lovely Leanne Flanagan, Maurice.
Lovely Leanne in her hair. Lovely hair.
Beautiful hair. Maurice Albanese, Lydia.
Lydia, thank you, Lydia.
And I'm going to give a shout out to someone who is a woman of discernment and taste, Timmy.
Who's that?
Zakala, who likes my singing. Hold me closer, Gandy Dance.
She did mention that she likes
yes,
it when
she
you
did.
Sing that.
So that's for you, girl.
Okay.
The Comeback Podcast. And we always end with Rudy,
yes.
The world's most dangerous canine.
Yes.
Who was up on History Dweebs the other day.
Yeah,
picture
I saw his
of
picture.
Him.
Very nice picture of him.
The beautiful Lady Beverly and a woman we do this show for week after week after week after week, Dottie Smith.
Dottie Smith?
Or Dottie Scott.
Okay. And I'm going to let you guys podcast when I'm away. Thank you all for listening. Happy birthday, Brandy. And we'll see y'all again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.